Father.
Previously in Aphon Kiss by Alice Dale, the raid over, Philippa's husband Stan arrived back after duty with the Civil Defence Service, and his horrendous story of what had happened in Clydebank and how he had rescued a young woman and her baby astonished his wife and daughter.
The following morning, Irene said, "John, Dad's on duty again tonight. Mum will be terribly worried about him. Would you mind if I stayed overnight with her in case there's another raid?" "Of course not," John replied. "I should probably stay with my parents too. They were worried about us last night. Perhaps now they'll listen to me and have a phone put in. Dad thinks only posh people have phones." "We're all lucky to have you here in Glasgow, John. Thank God your engineering work exempts you from the forces. After what's happened to Craig, I'd be worried sick if you'd been called up." "Okay, darling, I'll see you tomorrow after work. And if your dad's not on duty tomorrow night, you and I can eat out and go to the pictures again and hope we don't get trapped this time." "Right you are." They kissed a brief kiss and went their separate ways. That morning, Philippa slipped out of bed, careful not to waken Stan, who was in a deep sleep. She phoned his office and asked to speak to the senior partner. "Mr. Cranston, Mr. Stebbings didn't get to bed till nearly 5 a.m. this morning."
"Say no more,"
he interrupted.
"I'm just glad to hear he's all right. I was thinking about him last night, knowing he's in the CDS. Tell him to take the day off. Quite a few of the staff haven't come in this morning. Let's hope there's no more bombing tonight. Although, as they say, it's a bomber's moon again."
She thanked him and left a note for Stan, telling him what Mr. Cranston had said and to go back to bed. At school, she slipped into David's room at the lunch break. "Were you all right last night?" she asked.
"No, I went to bed and slept through the whole thing. But I've been hearing terrible things happened in Clydebank."
Immediately, Philippa told him the whole story about her brave husband. When she'd finished, he said,
"Oh, poor man, what a terrible experience."
Then he brightened up.
"Are we on for a cuppa after school?"
"I don't think so, David. Stan's on duty again tonight, so we'll eat a bit earlier this time. Last night he didn't even have time for his cup of tea. And I need to do some shopping and make sandwiches he can take with him. You understand, don't you?"
"Of course I do. Look, and go to your shelter if the sirens go again tonight. You're very lucky to have one."
"Look who's talking. Same applies to you."
"I don't have a shelter. I live in a tenement. On the top floor."
That information somehow worried Philippa, but she didn't want to sound like a wife worrying about her husband, so she simply said, "At least tomorrow's Saturday, and we can all make up for any lost sleep if there's another raid tonight. Must get back to the staff room before they start wondering where I am."
"You can tell them we've had a very interesting discussion about Liam McCarthy's behaviour."
Referring to her worst student. She gave a little chuckle and was gone. She was setting the table when the phone rang. "Hello? Philippa Stebbings speaking."
"Yes, I know your
voice, Mum.
Irene smiled to herself at how formal her mother always was when she answered the phone.
I thought I'd come over tonight in case there's another raid and you're on your own again. Dad's on duty, isn't he?
Yes, but you don't need to come here and leave John.
No, he's going to be with his parents. They have a shelter. He wants to make sure they use it, because they didn't last night. I'll have my tea first, then I'll be right over.
Thanks, Irene. You're a wee darling.
Of course I am. See you.
Bye. Philippa hung up slowly, thinking how lucky she was in her children. She was glad they hadn't used their 2 eggs yet this week and set about boiling them to make sandwiches for Stan. Tonight she made sure her husband had time for his cup of tea after the meal. She had wrapped his sandwiches in waxed paper and was glad sweets were not rationed. She hoped they never would be. She popped a little bag of pear drops and a bar of Fry's chocolate creams into Stan's first aid and gas mask bag. Ready to go, he thanked her for his midnight snack, as he called it. Now you look after yourself. No more rescuing young maidens in distress, Sir Galahad, she teased. I'll do whatever has to be done, which might be nothing if there's no raid, he assured her and gave her a kiss. When will you be back if there isn't a raid? The changeover's at 2 a.m, so I should be home before 3. I'll be sound asleep, but waken me and we'll have a cup of tea or cocoa. Right you are, boss. He gave her a salute, made a mock military turn, opened the door and was gone. She switched off the lights according to blackout regulations and went to the window to watch him walking, head up, shoulders back, until he turned the corner. His pride was back, and she thanked God for it. Irene arrived, carrying a small case with her night clothes in it. They settled down in the lounge and lit their players' cigarettes while chatting. Philippa told Irene how her father had changed since joining the CDS. I'm beginning to think all his grumpiness was because he felt guilty about not being fit enough to be called up. That's ridiculous, Irene said resentfully. I know. But you've only been married a wee while, Irene. You've a lot to learn yet about men, and how easily their pride is bruised. Their chatting went on for another hour before Philippa said, I think I'm going to have an early night. My sleep was so disturbed last night. Me too, Irene agreed. I thought I was going to drop off in class today. Of course, half the class was missing, and those that were there just wanted to talk about last night's raid and planes and Hitler. Her eyelids started fluttering, and Irene said, Would you like a cocoa before you go to bed? That's a nice idea. I'll make one for you too. No, you'll not. I'll make them. But before Irene reached the sitting room door, the wailing siren had started. Oh, blast, she said, and stamped her foot. Philippa was immediately wide awake. Quick, I'll make the cocoa and we can take it with us in the thermos. This time there was no mistaking that bombs were falling on Glasgow. So they turned up the wireless volume.
BBC welcomes you to the Savoy Ballroom, London, for an evening with Tommy Hanley.
Well, folks, excuse me being so thirsty. As a matter of fact, I've been taking a walk. And if anybody else wants to take it, they can have it. I finished with it. And it almost finished me, too. It was one of those walks you
and see there he was,
the
dear old Tommy Hanley, blissfully unaware of what was happening in their city. They stoically managed to laugh at his gags, and the funny characters who added to the laughs, Mrs. Mop, Colonel Chinstrap, and Thumph the Spy. No sooner was it finished than nature took over, and they had to lie down. In an instant, they were both asleep, and only wakened when the one-note siren went off in the early hours of the morning, declaring all bombers had gone. Philippa's first thought was for a nice fresh cup of tea in my own house. And Irene added, "Hear, hear," and to get into comfortable beds afterwards. We're due several more hours' sleep. At 5 a.m., the doorbell rang, which only Philippa heard. She was struggling into a dressing gown when the doorbell ringing changed to knocking on the door. All right, I'm coming," she called. Again the knocking on the door, and as she was making her way to the hall, she heard Irene's sleepy voice. "For Pete's sake, who's that?" "I've no idea. Go back to sleep. I'll deal with it." She had a quick look in the hall mirror and passed her fingers through her hair before opening the door. A very young policeman stood on the doorstep. "Mrs. Stebbins," he asked. Philippa answered, "Yes," with fear rising in her throat. "Can I come in?" he said quietly. Now she was alarmed.
Thank you.